to avoid fainting, keep repeating.
It's only a podcast.
Good evening, good afternoon, good whatever time of day it may be, folks. Welcome again to another fun, filled, informative, hopefully a little bit frightful episode of the Podcast Macabre. I'm Chris.
Joe.
I'm the Walking Dead. I mean, Jenny.
And I'm hawking a phlegm like a motherfucker, Don.
So, welcome once again, everybody. Today we are going to be talking, and we got tonight coming up, and what, for you East Coasters, we're only like five hours away. Okay. It's 5 hours away from, the season finale for The Walking Dead. So, we're going to talk a bit for recapping. The season, thoughts, opinions, favorite moments and such. And
placing your bets on who's gonna die.
That too. and
it goes without saying, spoilers all over this thing.
Oh yeah, spoilers.
Like, yeah, if you're not caught up,
walk away now if you're not.
But we're also going to, if we've got time, because versus our usual format of doing back-to-back shows, we're just doing a one-off tonight. So, hopefully, if there's any time left over, we're going to give you some suggestions as well for what you can watch during the interminable wait until, or excuse me, not interminable, because you can determine it, because you know how long the wait's going to be. Intolerable wait until October for the next season. My coffee's kicking in. Yay! So, who wants to kick it off? Where do we want to, do we want to talk about the season, or do we want to talk about what we think is going to happen in the finale?
Since Jen wasn't with us on the last time, let's kind of do a recap, but let's get her take on the recap thus far.
Yeah. Go for it, Jenny.
Okay. So, I did some catching up because I have a tendency to like to binge watch, so I'll save a few episodes. First off, can we all just have a moment of silence for Beth? I loved Beth. I miss Beth.
That's what happens when you bring scissors to a gunfight.
Oh, Lord. That fucking, basically, you know, as far as this season goes, once again, they've come into contact with various other groups of survivors. Once again, it hasn't always gone great. They seem to have more problems with other survivors than they do with the actual walkers, which I think is kind of interesting.
Which really is the theme, in my opinion, for any good zombie apocalypse thing. You gotta worry about more, you know what you're getting with the zombies. It's the other semi-intelligent folk you're gonna run into.
Exactly. The zombies can't calculate against you and don't have an agenda other than brains. But the other people always have an agenda. And, you know, I like to think that there's gonna be some decent normal people somewhere who aren't just like, ooh, other survivors, let's annihilate them.
You know, in a way, I thought the Alexandria group was kind of that type, but then as you get to know them and you realize, like our little merry band of zombie killers do, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Oh god, yeah.
Oh my god.
They've been sheltered. That's what they said. They've had the wall, it's been up as soon as everything happened, they were in the security of it.
Can we talk about how clever Carol is for just a moment with her pretending to be awkward with the weapons? And she's like, oh, little me. Oh, I bake cookies. That's what I do.
Well, I love that meme when someone did the interview when it shows her like looking off the side saying, so what are you good at, Carol? Said, killing people and blowing shit up. I'm sorry, what'd you say? Baking cookies.
Well, like, I thought it was so neat, even the part, like, when they first go in and they surrender the weapons, and she's just very, like, awkwardly trying to get the giant gun off of her shoulder, and she's kind of like, oh, whoops, I don't know what this is even, it's for looks, and, like, puts it on the pile awkwardly, and her and Rick kind of exchange that look, and it's like, you're such a clever bitch.
Well, and there's a bit from that episode too that I didn't catch until someone did some screen captures from the episode, that when it shows everyone there together in the house and just sitting around, Carol's drawn a map of the whole community because of her mm-hmm. circulating through and knowing who is where and stuff, being the good little den mother.
She's such a good den mother.
And if there's one other thing we...
Cubs.
Yeah.
If there's one other thing we have to remember about Carol, besides the fact that she's a badass now, she can make a lovely batch of cookies. You just can't talk about it.
Yeah, don't discuss. They're secret cookies.
Yeah, if you talk about the cookies, you're going to be tied to a tree looking at the flowers.
Hey, oh, how great was it in the last episode that, like, exactly what she told the little boy would happen to him is what happened to whoever that woman was that was tied to the tree.
Yes.
Damn, you passed on the recipe, didn't you?
So
weren't you listening?
But I'm trying to remember though. You haven't read the comics though, have you, Jenny?
I've read a couple of them.
Okay.
I haven't. I mean, I know there are people who know the entire, you know, Walking Deadiverse inside and out, and I unfortunately have a job and, you know, I'm not able to make that happen. But yeah. But I have to say, you know, I know that the show gets some grief sometimes because there's so much focus on the interpersonal relationships, but let's face it. I mean, I love a good Let's Kill Zombies adventure, but at the end of the day, the people you're dealing with who aren't the undead are going to be the fucking issue more than likely.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, prime example for that can go back to is, you know, within the genres is, Romero's Day of the Dead, that really the zombies aren't the threat through the bulk of the movie. It's the military guys versus the scientist guys. It's that human dynamic of who's going to try to claim dominance, of which kind of you could almost parable into what's going on with Alexandria, that if you look at our merry band of zombie hunters that we've gone through 5 seasons now with, they're the ones that would essentially be the military. But then you have the naive idealist scientist people or everyone who's living in Alexandria. And they're like, we're going to take your shit if you don't get your shit together.
Well, and that's the thing is I can understand why they'd be drawn to our favorite zombie hunters, because these people have been in the fucking thick of it. And you know what? They've managed to get through this long. And the people in Alexandria are like, oh, sweet. We've been in these little McMansions just like chilling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe you guys would be good to have around. Yeah, you think?
And I kind of like the whole thing about the last episode is where, when Rick confronts who's, oh God, come on, Dawn, don't let the decongestants get to you. What's her name? Someone help me out.
Deanna.
The leader. Deanna, thank you.
Yeah.
When Rick confronts who's Deanna about the whole wife beater, oh, we know. Mm-hmm. You knew and you're going to keep him here? He's a surgeon. Yep. You have to kind of bite the bullet on it. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, yeah, that's great and all, but hello, the guys, you're going to sacrifice one person for the needs of the whole community because this guy's a douchebag? I mean, does it stop?
Yeah. That's where it becomes the fine line of what is good for the greater good. And
it would just be easier to get rid of all the alcohol and be like, hey, we've been searching. There's nothing out there.
Yeah. I mean,
throw him away, lock him up.
If Bob can kick the bottle, he should be able to too. Oh, wait, I said kick the bottle. That's hard to do now for Bob. Sorry. Can we agree that's one of the greatest lines of the whole season though? Tainted mate! Tainted mate!
So great.
Well, that should be the other speculation if they're gonna be recasting. Which cast member from The Wire are they gonna put next on there?
We need Bubbles.
Oh God, yes.
Always
Amanda will have no part of this show. For those who are listening, that was Amanda's nickname on a certain other web board that no longer exists.
Her name Bubbles.
That's where my mind goes too.
I will say, thinking of casting though, that was something I did not even put together until watching or looking at different memes this week that I was posting on our Facebook page. I did not realize it is the same actress that plays Jessie, the doctor's abused wife, also played the young Myra, the redheaded maid in the first season of American Horror Story.
Oh, I didn't
realize
that.
Get the fuck out!
Yes,
sir. She was a naughty, naughty maid.
Oh, very naughty. I mean, I was watching that episode going, I'm not sure if I should be turned on or questioning what I'm watching here.
Yeah. I had that same reaction because I'm like, well, oh, no.
What
see,
I
remember.
What I thought was really funny, and it was such a small piece, and we're just kind of going on to the American Horror Story for just a second. It was such a small piece of the show, but when the wife starts to realize something's up with the maid and her husband, and she's like, what the fuck? She's like, she's 100, and she has like a cloudy eye. Like, what's the matter with you?
No, she's
but that's not what I see!
I see the inner beauty.
I just always got such a kick out of that because I'm just like, I can't even fathom if I had like this old, not the greatest looking maid ever, and my husband's all like, damn. I'd be like, what? Ew.
It's no different than Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
That's what I was just going to say. Okay, well, I guess we can save Horror Story talk. But let's see. Who going clear back to October of what happened. I'm actually trying to look at an episode list here. Cause that's the whole thing with the break they have during the NFL playoffs and stuff, it's sometimes you forget the goodness of the first half of the season because first half of the season we had Tainted Meat. We had Beth. That's another great meme that I've seen lately is, the one with, when Beth was flipping off Daryl and walking off that, someone's captioned that one now and says, and that's for posting Walking Dead spoiler, asshole.
Oh, I know who someone to give that to.
Well, speaking of, what did you do to spoil yourself, Jenny? From your messaging. Really?
Oh, I accidentally, I went to watch what I thought was the last episode or the next episode that I hadn't watched, and I skipped the one where Beth died and started watching the next one, and I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, that was awful. Ruined my day. And then I watched it anyway, but it was just the point.
Let's see, I'm over here on IMDb and I've got the episodes in front of me. So, let's see, we started off season with our intrepid travelers at the terrible town of Terminus.
Oh, Terminus.
It's like, anyone else smell barbecue? And I will
say. Secret family recipe.
I will say, well, they weren't in Texas, they're a little too far east. So. I will say that I was disappointed that they only got two episodes out of Denise Crosby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they rushed that whole thing.
Same here.
I could have dealt with maybe three or four Terminus episodes and less of the hospital personally, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found the hospital, I don't know, it's kind of like, this will sound stupid, but kind of like when I'm gaming, when I do like MMOs, I hate the parts that are all interior, like the underground cities and fucking shit like that. Like the hospital just felt so claustrophobic and everyone was a dick and, oh, yuck. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Since we started off the season with them and Carol blowing shit up and getting them out of there. I know
Which
that was
awesome.
Yes, it was. Except for Tyrese not killing people when he's supposed to, damn it. But yeah, that was the, bit. I know I've seen it still pop up with other people talking about it, speaking of the potential of Negan showing up with the finale tonight. that there were some people who thought that was Negan that was threatening the original people in Terminus in the train car, that because of the, with the slick backed hair, but with the tattoos on his face and stuff. Somebody else pointed out, if you look later in the episode, when there's the straggly haired crazy fucker who bursts out of the one train car and almost takes out, Glenn, that with the facial tattoos, that's the same guy. That's who they had locked up. So that was not Negan. For anybody who's thinking that might have been Negan, it's not.
Yeah, I actually think we're not even going to get a glimpse of Negan this season. I think they're going to save that for maybe like episode 3 of next year. I think tonight we're going to meet Negan's people, though.
Yeah, there was probably some hints to start getting a flavor of them coming in. But
yeah, because they've been doing the whole like Walter Neer thing for far too long for not to have some sort of payoff of that tonight. But I don't think they want to bring out a Negan-like character like right at the end this season. I think they're going to save that and make that kind of be maybe toward the like mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Next year.
Well, now that we're getting toward the very end, at least of this season, which I know there's going to be serious withdrawals coming, but I want to start a let's place your bets, because there have been so many heavy rumors as to who is going to buy it, because I was a little shocked more people did not buy it in the second to last episode, because as of recent past has shown, it's usually the second to last episode where all hell breaks loose, but I know there's been a lot of rumors about who's dying tonight. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have an idea of who might buy it. I know the rumors of who other folks are saying are going to buy it. But
yeah, there's so many people who think it's going to be Daryl.
Ah! Daryl or one of my coworkers thinks it's going to be Glenn.
Well, that was interesting, because I shared that up on our Facebook page too, of the it, to me, from reading the comics, and we discussed this in our previous episode when the mid-season premiere was, of Glenn's fate within the comic books. And so to have that picture of Glenn sitting there with a baseball bat and saying 3 days to go, I'm like, oh, are they hinting at something here?
I know he said if Glenn goes, he's riding. Fuck Daryl, even though that's his boy too. But he's just like, if Glenn goes, I'm not watching anymore.
Yeah,
I'm like, boy, this sounds eerily familiar about when Glenn bought it in the comic book.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go the other way. I don't think I could conceivably see them getting through tonight with no one dying. They just go the complete opposite way.
I feel like they had some pretty serious losses this season and, you know, fan favorites. And I feel like maybe the rest will come out unscathed. I don't know. I will say this, though. I don't think Daryl's going to die, mainly because they started kind of like Beth dying really hit him hard. I mean, he's putting out cigarettes on his fucking hand, for fuck's sake. So I think they're going to develop that a little bit more.
I think he was doing that to keep himself awake, because he was still at that point. He wasn't trusting anybody.
I look at Facebook. I know, self-harming.
Well, yeah.
No, but I think that they're going to let him kind of go down this path for a little while. I don't think that they're going to kill him off tonight, I hope, because I love him. and I mean, let's face it, like, they'll have a way better chance of Alexandria being anything even somewhat, you know, more than, oh, we're getting the fuck out of here right this second if Daryl's there, so.
Right.
Because he's wary, and he's cautious, and as they all are, because at this point, Jesus Christ, why wouldn't they be? But he's fucking Daryl Dixon, so, I mean, he's handy to have around.
Well, I've got a theory based off of something I read last week or earlier this week. And the scene where the lady was tied to the tree and eaten, they kind of like show some stuff around. There were a pair of sunglasses that looked super familiar, similar to the sunglasses that Morgan was wearing as he was like following the group earlier in the season. So I'm kind of thinking that the wolves have him And I can foresee Daryl and Aaron happening upon like a small group of the wolves holding Morgan, saving Morgan from them and end up killing like say one or two wolves and the rest get away. And that's our little bit of contact with Negan's people. And then I think the rest of the episode really would be more dealing with like almost a near civil war in Alexandria between the people that want to kick Rick out and the ones that want to keep him. And then maybe next season, because Daryl and Aaron killed some of the wolves, that's when we get a bigger group of them coming back and messing around with people. And I've been kind of beating the drum that I don't think Glenn's the one that's going to die like he died in the comic book. I think they're going to use that, but they're going to replace Glenn with Abraham. Because to me, if Negan's truly a badass, he wants to pick the biggest, baddest looking dude, pull him out in front of everyone, beat his brains in, and be like, look, if I could do that to a big, strong guy and the strongest among you, what do you think I'll do to you?
Right.
But so isn't Daryl a little bit more, I mean, granted, he's a little bit less in body mass, but I would rather fuck with Abraham than Daryl.
Yeah.
True, because we know him though, but if you just walked up to like, you know, if you were walking down the street and it was pitch black, like 2 a.m., and you could walk by Daryl on one side or Abraham on the other, I'm walking by Daryl because he looks way smaller.
Not until, you know, he looks like
yeah. Well, that's true.
They both have the 1,000-yard stare, though. They're both fucking. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not at all implying that there's any lack of humanity in them. But if you just kind of ran across them, you'd end up kind of bringing it to size because they both look like, oh fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of what I think might happen, and kind of another reason why I'm thinking that is. I could conceivably see Negan and his wolves showing up and running across Abraham and his construction guys and the ladies first and basically like taking them hostage and beating them down and like sending someone back going, bring me your leader. And then, you know, whatever happens today, you know, Rick comes out on top and then they bring Rick out and a bunch of other people. And then Negan just beats Abraham's brains in like right there. It's like, you service me now, bye, you know?
Yeah, I could see that with the construction site filling that void, because in the comics it was that the Alexandria was like a gated community on the edge of another city or town versus this Alexandria seems to be kind of more isolated. So to have some outlier that they'd be at, that I could see that happening, or even the way Abraham gets taken out in the comics, of even just the sniping him on the site, and that would draw people out because they're like, what's going on? There's somebody out here. We got to defend ourselves. So yeah. I could see it playing that way.
And in the comic, they kind of introduced Negan and his group because they were basically taking a percentage of all the stock and supplies and everything. I kind of thought they were going to delve into that a little bit on the TV show, and then make that the reason why they brought Rick and everyone else in, is because they knew they were road weary and had done what they needed to do to survive. But they've not even hinted at anything like that. Or like you're saying, they seem far more isolated. So it's really interesting to see where they go.
Yeah. Cause there hasn't even been any mention of like the Hill as the, the other community that they traded with and stuff. So there's bits. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's great, even as a reader of the comic, and it's like, you know, I'm looking forward because we're only 2 weeks away from the season premiere for Game of Thrones.
Winter is coming, bitches.
If you live in Michigan, winter is still fucking here.
Well, fucking tell me about it. I feel your fucking pain. It snowed yesterday. I'm like, awesome. It didn't amount to anything really, but I was like, fuck you, winter. Fuck you.
It was 75 at my house on Tuesday this week.
Okay, well, I'll be on your doorstep approximately how many hours away is that? Yeah.
By plane or on foot?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll fucking hitchhike if I have to. I'll bring a crossbow, though.
I'll have the katana.
Well, let's see. I will say, though, my thoughts on if anybody's going to buy it tonight, the top two people for me that are going to get taken out are Sasha and Gabriel. Gabriel's going to get his comeuppance in some form, even if it's someone in the group, even if Maggie takes him out because of his betrayal of the group, since she overheard him talking to Deanna, or also with the way Sasha's just losing it. She's gonna get too reckless, and it's gonna
when she took down those fucking dogs. I thought that was the best moment ever.
Yeah.
That was Sasha using her powers for good and not lunacy. She was just like blam 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 blam. Dinner, yay!
If I had to place a bet on who I thought was buying it tonight, honestly, for some reason, and I know we were talking about before we started recording. And it's usually always a sign whoever is the special guest is usually the one that's going to buy it during The Walking Dead, but the special guest on The Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I've been thinking this is the season Carol goes. I don't want it to happen. She's probably my second favorite character next to, which is the tie for Daryl and Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got this nagging feeling she's going to be the one that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, the guest tonight, as they have listed, it's Scott Gimple, the showrunner, Norman Reedus, and Melissa McBride, and then, quote-unquote, a special guest. So maybe they're doing kind of like a reverse sort of psychology thing where the special guest is always the one that dies, and it could maybe be Carol and Daryl. How fucked up would that be to lose them both in one episode?
Oh, my God. Oh. I would throw shit. Oh. I would throw shit so hard.
People would riot.
That would be The Walking Dead.
I'd be pulling cars over. No, I'm just kidding.
That's me. That would be the Walking Dead wedding.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, could you imagine both go and then the official Facebook page accidentally tweets goodbye, Daryl and Carol?
Oh my God.
Like a minute after the East Coast feed.
Oh
my God.
Oh
my God. If that happened tonight, swear to God, I have to open in the morning. I already told my boss, I'm like, I'm not going to be a wide awake. You know, it's a 90-minute season finale. And I bet you if they killed Daryl and Carol tonight's episode, not only will I not go to sleep because I'll be too pissed off, I'll go into work like this. What do you fucking want? Drugs? You came to the right place, asshole. The bakery would have been silly. What do you want?
The internet would melt.
Oh my god. You wouldn't be able to get on Twitter. Like, it'd just be like, no, sorry, we're not taking any more tweets right now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Twitter has officially exploded. Please come back in a week.
I would be forced to drink, and that would be really late for me to drink.
Are you guys ready for a couple of questions?
I wanted to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
My opinion, I want to say creepiest moment of the season. Do you want some candy, little girl?
Yeah.
That whole episode, I actually, like you were saying, before the claustrophobia of being in that whole interior that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That played, for me, some of that played into it, but that whole episode of, I mean, I don't know if it's the ingrained male protective, whatever, that vibe of thing, but you know, you look at Beth as the little frail girl of the group, even though she can kill walkers and protect herself. But still, to see her in that situation and just the whole vibe of that was one of the episodes during the season that I was literally I felt like a coiled spring the whole time I'm watching it, because you know, it's like, this doesn't, there's just so much tension. It doesn't feel right. Something is bad here. And it's, when is the bad thing going to drop? When's that other shoe going to fall? And it was finally at the end of that episode where I kind of just go, oh, and could relax.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole scene of, oh, it's the sucker.
Just instantly puts your hackles up. Like
holy shit. Where's your windowless white van, you creep?
Yeah, it on the side of the road like 10 miles away because it ran out of gas. Yeah, like, well, and, you know, then you've got the whole, not our beloved Dawn, but you have the whole Dawn on the show situation, which, fuck that bitch. Hated her. So fine. I'm so fine with Daryl just being like, no, you can beg. We're all done. Boom. Yep, that's fine. Like the fact that we've kind of touched on it before, but pretty much any time that there's like a glimmer of hope, it's like, oh no, actually though, no, that was a bad idea. You got hopeful for 30 seconds. Fuck you. And it was like, you know, you just kind of imagine, oh my God, we just found out Beth's alive. This is fantastic. Let's go get her. And then like a minute later, you know, just, ugh.
But someone did point out the fact, though, that you got the whole thing of like, oh my God, Beth is so worried. She hasn't asked about her damn sister all season until that episode.
It's like, you mean she's alive? Oh, you mean I have a sister? Yeah, no shit.
Well, I had a sister. Oh, you mean not the one that died back on the ranch back in season two? Oh, okay. Okay, what was the question, Don?
Well, I'm going to touch on the first one because it kind of touched briefly on what we just went through. James Wellborn, good friend of ours, I did send him an invite to the page. He has not responded yet. That's on you, James.
I sent him one a while back, too.
Basically, he wanted to know, what were our thoughts about the wolves? And will the W-branded zombies be addressed and figured out this evening on the season finale?
There's got to be some addressing of it. They've been hinting at it.
Yeah, because they've been touching on that since the bundle of heads came out of was it a truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, like with a little camper back on it or whatever, right?
Yep, with the gated community where Noah came from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% convinced the wolves are the survivors from the comic, which are Negan's group. The W's, I don't know, I kind of take that as like them just marking their territory, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, my brain, of course, jumps to something more that I know that wouldn't be, it's not something smart enough to do in the show for this situation. Not to say that they dumb things down in the show, but I could see if you've got someone in that group and is with the way the herd is moving of the horde, that, you know, tag a few, then you can tell where they're migrating. But that just popped into my head for some reason, but.
You know what? What's funny is that my first thought was it's some kind of research. There's something where they're trying to track some of them. And then I'm like, well, probably not. Cause I mean, let's face it, you know, the effort that's involved in it implies to me that it's something kind of important. Cause you gotta hold, like, it's just weird. It's weird.
Well,
it's a weird thing.
The thing that just occurred to me, cause especially if they're trying to mark their kills, what if it is their actual kills? What if they are taking out, you know, human survivors, carve the W in their forehead, and then they return?
Yeah, cause that's what happened with that girl tied to the tree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
it's just kind of a weird thing, and I really hope that tonight is when they kind of shed a little light on it.
Yeah, should be. I'm trying to. Yeah, go ahead, somebody. My brain.
Well, I was just thinking. I can't remember where I heard it. If it was on the Talking Dead or if it was somewhere else on the vast universe that is Facebook. But someone posed the theory that it was not the wolves that carved the W, but that it was Morgan, and that he was carving his M upside down, and it just looks like a W. But that doesn't scream sensible to me as a theory.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we fully saw Morgan, he was crazy. I don't think he's that crazy.
Yeah, and then finally they catch up to Morgan, and he goes, what, never told you I was dyslexic?
Yeah.
What popped into my head just now is the old joke about the blonde working in the M&M factory who got
throwing
fired
out all the W's.
Yeah, I did. This is one thing I think is like super straightforward, and it's truly them just marking their territory and being like, we're badasses. And either it being they mark the W as they kill people and then you'll have them turn into zombies, or they're showing like how badass, quote unquote, they are, that, you know, they get that close to the zombies to hold them down to carve their initial in their foreheads. I don't know. What you're saying though with the migration would be brilliant though.
Yeah. Well, cause originally, I mean, when they first showed him outside the estate, I was thinking, wow, you know, someone's crazy, stupid, bored, whatever it is that they're, you know, just reaching through the fence line and carving in that W in their head. But now to think on it that, yeah, it's more like they're probably killing people off and then tagging them with that W. And then they return, which would be evidence with the woman that was hanging from the tree and had her guts eaten out. So. Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine actually reminded me, and I had forgotten this because I hadn't reached this point in the comic, I think, when the episode aired. But when we did see Morgan in that one town, my friend reminded me that he was ranting about people wearing the faces of the dead.
Yes.
And if you remember where we ended with the latest volume, that so I'm really hoping that plays a part next season, where we have the Whisperers who are just basically flaying the dead and wearing them as mask.
Oh, snap. My brain just clicked something. I kept thinking, well, you know, in the comics, they're kind of calling them the Whisperers, which is another W. But we've already seen, you know, the graffiti saying the wolves are near or whatever. I forget it was that was in the gated community.
Wolves are near, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be misdirection, though. I didn't even think about that Whisperer connection, but I'm hoping they save that.
Oh, but you know how that would work together, though? Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Oh, yeah.
The wolves are wearing the skins. That could play.
That's better than Whisperers.
That would be good. I called it. I called it. If that happens, I'm going to be like, yes.
Minute
39, goddamn guy.
You know what I thought was kind of funny, and this is just a brief little aside. I think it's pretty funny that a community run by a politician is completely out of touch with reality. It really just, I think it's a really good reflection on the state of American politics, where the politician runs a place, she's like, oh no, sweet, everything's awesome. You know, we've got everything we need. We're all set. We're safe, blah, blah, blah. And they're literally outside your gate going, oh, dude.
But in a way, that is so symbolic of how it is now, if you think about it, because we got politicians in charge. They think everything's hunky-dory and it's just proof back. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's really a good reflection of the state of American government right now, where people are going, oh no, sweet, we'll cut our deficit by cutting, you know, half the food stamps. That'll work fine. Nobody needs it really. And
or like the case with Jesse's husband. Go ahead. Sorry.
And meanwhile, you know, the world outside of them is complete and utter chaos and turmoil, and things sucks for everyone. So,
but yet the world cannot go on until that lady gets her fucking pasta maker.
Obviously she's a Democrat.
Or a Pastafarian.
Yeah.
Pastafarian.
The spaghetti monster will save us.
Right. Pastafarians.
On a side note, I forgot, I was thinking this earlier as well about, you know, with people getting into the community or infiltrating. What if, Enid is in some connection to the other group that might be out there in some way? If it doesn't play out with the Whispers, I don't see her being a part of that because she's playing too stable to be that psycho. but
if it isn't what you guys were telling me, a few episodes back regarding to, Negan is, he's psychotic, but he keeps so cool and collected about it.
I can't remember if it was on your page or someone else's page earlier in the week, Joe, that we're talking casting, and someone was saying, you know, I can't fucking believe they're gonna fucking have Negan on fucking AMC, because how the fuck are the censors or Standard and Practice gonna get around that fucking way that he loves to fucking express himself?
Yeah, that was on my page. That was my buddy Ed.
Yeah.
They are going to have to find a way around that, though. I mean, that's going to be very interesting to see how they bring that character to life, but not use his trademark of, you know, fucking saying fucking fuck every fucking second.
Well, didn't they alter one of the infamous lines from the comic book where Rick says they're fucking with the wrong people?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
They'll figure out.
It's going to be, but the casting little rumor was for John Hamm to play Negan, which I think is just brilliant if they did it.
Right.
Because not only does he look the part, But talk about a guy who, you know, just looking at him, charisma. He does look, yeah, that he oozes charisma, but I think I could easily see him playing like a twisted badass like Negan is, who truly believes he is doing right by his people. And, you know, and he's playing by the rules of the new world, basically. I think he would be just insanely good.
It'd be a total switch for him. And granted, he's going to be wide open after the, Mad Men wraps up.
Oh, I'm going to hate to see the last 7 episodes of that. I love that show so much.
Yeah. But that's what can
what's our next question?
Yeah, well, there were only 2.
Okay.
I was kind of hoping to draw our audience out a little bit.
And we appreciate every single question. Thank you for asking, folks.
Exactly. The next question will delve into the spinoff, which is, what are our takes on the West Coast Walking Dead?
Stupid title.
Yep. Was it Fear the Walking
Dead? Fear the Walking Dead. There's a stretch. How much did the Brain Trust get paid for that one?
Now, are they going to stick with that, though?
Yeah.
Supposedly. I mean, they came out. Solid title?
That's what they've announced.
Oh, good.
I think they should have called it Walking Dead 2 Electric Boogaloo myself.
Seriously, I am of two minds. Part of me thinks that it's wasted, that they're just trying to cash in on the name since, you know, The Walking Dead's big and huge and they're just trying to use it to make money. Mm-hmm. But then the other side of me that wants to give them the benefit of the doubt is thinking it could be pretty cool to watch a story unfold without knowing anything that's supposed to happen.
Very true.
They won't be beholden to anything in the comic book because it's going to be completely set in the TV universe, mm-hmm. just on the other side of the country in LA. So I don't know. It could be either really good or it could just be horrible and kind of start to be the downfall of trying to bring all these sort of shows to the air.
Thank you, Trevor Graff, for that question.
Thanks, Trev. I would say the question for me, because when the Walking Dead itself had its rocky parts, you know, season 2, I'm looking at you, it was production issues. So my thing would be, I wonder what the history and background is for who's going to be the lead producers and stuff and show writers for this spinoff. Because, you know, that's where things went to hell. Yeah, Darabont did great with season 1. I know some people are on the edge for that one, but I mean, Darabont kind of laid it out in his own way and I like his style of stuff. Then season 2, because of the production issues they had of trading out producers, that it kind of languished in hell for a while. And, you know, we knew she was in the barn the whole fucking season. And then when it finally started finding its footing again, and now that we've had 2 seasons in a row now with the same production crew and has had time to expand and build the stories and make it great, that's why I'd be curious to see who's going to be running the show. I need to look that up.
Yeah, and I think Kirkman is having some
Kirkman!
Writing. Yeah, I think he's doing some writing and some, you know, kind of writer room running on that one, if I remember correctly, but I can't recall who's supposed to be the showrunner.
Mm.
And I know, I can't think of her name, but the lady that is the lead actress in it, I've seen her in tons of other stuff, and if it's who I'm thinking of, she was just in the last season of House of Cards as a reporter. So she's pretty good, and the guy whose name escapes me, I know him from a few things. It'll come down to the story for me on that one, and since I have to buy things on iTunes season-wise, that one might be one I probably don't buy and just wait for Netflix. Unless everyone tells me that I have to watch it.
I love to say I haven't attached names to the characters yet, because I just pulled it up on IMDb to see who the people were. And you have names for characters so far. You have Druggie, Nurse, Paleface, Junkie. Oh, Gloria, we have a name. High school student, diner patron, lab coat, ICU doctor, teacher, orderly, good Samaritan, drama teacher. Oh, good Samaritan, that's never going to be a good thing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. You know, LA, of course, being in Atlanta, they had like the early part of the season, you know, the zombie hordes there, but Jesus Christ, in and around LA, there's like tons of more people. So it will be interesting to see what they do. And also, I think it's supposed to be at the very kind of beginning of the outbreak too.
That's what it sounded like. It's like, do they even say anything? Yeah, they don't even give any show idea stuff here. A family struggle of survival during a zombie apocalypse. That's all it says on IMDb.
And you know what? Like, I love how they've developed the characters, and I love how the story, like, some of the storylines, I'm like, fuck you. But, I really, like, I always love the start of the apocalypse. Like, the first season of The Walking Dead, come on. Like, that's just some fucked up shit. And I'm kind of interested to see kind of another, like, take on it with the same fucking, you know, outbreak and everything going to hell, and see a different group of people kind of trying to function and rationalize and make things work. I'm interested in it. I'll watch it.
It's going to be like, oh my God.
These people are teachers.
It's going to be, oh my God.
They're not. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's going to be, since it's West Coast, it's going to be, oh my God, how am I going to get my vegan tofu smoothie? Where's the charging station for my Prius?
What do you mean Chipotle's closed? Chipotle's never closed.
Oh, Christ, I want to go to Chipotle by my work and get a giant burrito tomorrow.
I've wanted to go to Chipotle for, like, fucking years, and unfortunately, I live in New Hampshire, so that ain't fun.
I've never been there. I have coworkers that go, you've never been to Chipotle? I'm like, what the fuck is the big deal?
This episode brought to you by Chipotle.
If we could get Chipotle as a sponsor, that'd be fantastic. Let's just start throwing out other restaurants we like. Maybe we'll luck out.
There you go. We'd start naming breweries. We could have the official beer of the podcast. That would be awesome.
That's speaking of breweries, with all the microbreweries out west here, around Ninkasi Brewery out of Oregon, that they've got one. It's a red IPA called Dawn of the Red.
Nice.
Oh, you were telling me about that. Yes, yeah.
Even the label is a parody or an homage to the Dawn of the Dead poster, where it's got a zombie fist coming up out of the ground holding a bottle.
Kick ass. Look that up. See if I can get some of that ordered and delivered.
Yeah. So anything else we want to talk about on the Walking Dead? Cause where are we at time wise?
Just one more thing on the spinoff. What I do think will be super interesting to see how the characters handle the outbreak is the two main characters are like a teacher and a guidance counselor, from what I remember. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, they're not a sheriff or, you know, Daryl, who's like a badass.
Yeah.
They're not a sheriff, you know, Daryl.
They're not men of action. They're going to try to analyze.
Exactly. So, you know, how do you survive that? So, yeah, it will be kind of something that I'll keep an eye out for. Like I said, dropping $40 for an iTunes season pass is kind of steep, and I don't want to jump right in if it's going to be kind of iffy.
Right. Yeah, I hear you on that one.
And the only thing I got left to say on the whole subject of The Walking Dead is, and this kind of blew my mind when I was listening to it. I was listening to one of the local radio stations, and one of the co-hosts said he started doing a binge watch of The Walking Dead. And I'm thinking of the latest season. No, the beginning. Like, it took you this long to jump in?
There's
really?
Always going to be some people.
I thought I was an episode hoarder, but apparently I'm not in too bad a shape.
Well, I've got a coworker, Susan, that her and her husband, it was right at the beginning of season 4, was going to start. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, because she's originally from Georgia. And so that's why she was curious of it for that part. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm interested in checking it out. And so, yeah, that over a weekend, her and her husband, Jeff, binge watched the first 3 seasons. They're just like, damn. Oh my God, this is so good.
It's a soap opera with zombies.
That's a good thing about having a smaller run per season and only doing like 12 to 13 episodes. You can easily kill that in a day if you're super lazy and motivated to, you know, sit on the couch and watch.
There's a little oxymoron. Super lazy and motivated. Well, speaking of that, since we've kind of wrapped up a bit on the Walking Dead stuff, That's a good segue into talking about current and other horror movies, or excuse me, not horror movies, horror shows that we're trying to come up with lists on our own of ones that are currently running, and also stuff that you could find on Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, Amazon Prime, so that you could stream those and something to fill the void while we wait for season six. Are we up to six?
Yeah.
I, for some reason, I keep losing track. I used to be an obsessive, gotta buy the seasons on Blu-ray type people, but I've cut back on that. So now that I don't have a shelf to look at, and I'm like, okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. So I lost track. But, with the shorter episode runs, like you're saying, Joe, I think that is one of the things that makes one of the great shows that I was latecomer to, and I'm regretting I didn't watch it before, but I am also happy that I waited to watch because I got to binge watch both the two seasons that are out so far, and that's Hannibal. Hannibal
love
is
Hannibal.
Awesome. It's,
we were actually just watching because I was caught up, mm-hmm. and my husband wasn't. That used to be one of the shows we watched together, but he has a lot going on right now. So we were watching the second half of season two, and I'm just like, God, this is a fucking great show.
Oh yeah. Well, I love the little side bit of, as a foodie, when you look at each season and look at the titles of the episodes so far, mm-hmm. they're all courses of meals.
They are.
Oh, nice.
The first season, it's all the French courses. The second season, it's all,
and fucking, yes. Yeah.
And the second season is all, Japanese culinary terms.
Well, but, what's annoying about that show and kind of odd is that it always makes me hungry.
I know.
The food is beautiful. I don't care if it's human. I'm like, make me a plate. I'm good. Let's sit and do this. It's so fucking delicious.
I know. I sit there looking at it. I'm like, God, that just like, but that's people. Sorry.
I know. And I'm like, that makes me question myself. Do I need to schedule an extra therapy session? What the fuck? But it's always so beautifully prepared.
Can you do me a favor when you make that appointment? Can you make one for Amanda? Because we've had this discussion. I try it once.
I love her. I love her so much.
I'm thinking, oh my God, she doesn't see me as a partner. She sees me as a fucking buffet.
I did see the, I've been sharing up on our Facebook page, that they've released a title list for episodes coming out of the next season, and there are some of the food titles, but the one that really caught my attention, I believe it's episode 8 or 10 of the next season, it's Rise of the Red Dragon. Yeah. And it's being directed by
the one that Neil Marshall's doing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I gotta get it. See, this is the one show that when I tell people I've not watched the second of it, they're like, you haven't seen that show?
Oh my God.
I've got to get caught up. I've got to
start
that tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, it's the whole thing of what shocked me from, you know, watching so much of, I haven't watched network TV show. I mean, you know, other than the superhero shows, there really hasn't been much network TV I've watched. Everything I've been watching is cable, Netflix, BBC, and other things. And so to, you know, finally get into watching Hannibal because of, I was just like you, Joe. I had so many friends raving about it. Oh yeah, you got to check it out. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll finally sit down and watch this. And there's the episode in the first season that, I mean, no spoiler in saying it, that the killer in this one takes the victims and poses them as angels. That there's this,
oh my
beautiful,
God.
I know, it's this beautifully framed scene and the cinematography. I'm a sucker for cinematography and just the framing of the shot. Of the slow pan in this hotel room where you have a man and a woman whose bodies are suspended by wires and hooks that their backs have been flayed up. And you're looking at them from the back. Their backs have been flayed up like angel wings and they're kneeling in a prayer pose at the foot of this bed.
Yeah.
And it holds the shot for a good 10 seconds. It's not one of those quick glimpse of gore. It's one of those holding the shot as it's
one of those,
the
no,
very
you
slow
look at it.
Type pan in. Yeah. And I'm like, I cannot believe this is on NBC.
It's the most beautiful and horrifying show. It's gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
The freaking writing is amazing. The murders are just, they blow your mind. The imagery in it, it's
just a beautiful show, and it's also such a horrific show.
Yes. Well, I will say too.
All right, I'm sold.
Yeah. The one thing that shocked me, when I got about halfway through season one, I went back on a whim and was rewatching, the movie King Arthur, the one with, Clive Owen playing Arthur. And you have, Mads Mikkelsen and, Hugh Darcy, who play, Will Graham and Hannibal Lecter in the show, playing Galahad and Percival in the same movie. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
But granted, well, that movie's almost a decade old.
My thing with it is that obviously Anthony Hopkins, his take on it, fantastic. You know what I mean? He's creepy and he's just blah. But seeing it with Mads Mikkelsen, he's very reptilian almost. Like he's like a freaking snake wearing a human costume. Like he says all the right things. He makes the right movements, makes the right facial expressions, but it's just fucking, that isn't what's going on in the fucking wheelhouse. Like it blows you away. You're so just, you're drawn to him and repulsed by him at the same time. And it's very, he's really good.
Oh yeah. With the reptilian cool of it, a prime example of that is, just the very opening scenes of season two, which is actually part of the very end of the season. Cause it like shows you this whole scene between him and, Lawrence Fishburne's character, the head of the agency.
I'm not gonna think of his name right now. Yeah.
But then brain fog. Yeah. But then it plays out with cause it shows them going through essentially a struggle, a fight. And just the coolness and calmness that as methodical as he is doing with this whole thing. And you get this played out for you to start season two. And then it says 12 weeks earlier and jumps back. And so, yeah, that all plays out in the finale of the season two. It's the structure of it's good. The characters are good. And the effects and stuff too, the dissolves of showing like the dream imagery and Will, that's the whole thing
with
for
the pendulum kind of thing.
Oh yes, the whole "this is my design."
The zoop.
Yeah.
And I was hacking along when I was trying to answer your guys' question. It's Crawford.
Ah.
Thank you.
There we go. Yes. But what's the other bit I was trying to think of with that? Oh yeah, that was the other bit that I kept thinking of. Every time we'd show Will kind of going to his happy place in his brain, I keep thinking because it just shows him fly fishing in a stream. I'm thinking stream of consciousness.
I mean, it's unfortunate that his flies have bits of human in them, but whatever.
Well, I will say the other thing I thought was funny, and I was talking with our my friend Simon Fitzgerald on it because he started rewatching Dead Like Me. And you guys ever see that one? The old series with George. That you have because it was Georgia Lass was the name of her character on. Dead Like Me, George. And so you have in season one of Hannibal, you have Georgia Madchen, which is, German for girl or lass. Yeah. And it was, I didn't realize until I found an article and I'm like, okay, I wasn't thinking out of my ass that, it is the same, producer that was with Dead Like Me is one of the producers for Hannibal. And they reinterpreted the George character. So it's the same actress essentially playing the same character, but a different interpretation of her. Instead of being, you know, someone who actually died and is kind of still going around as a spiritual guide, that instead it's someone who has a psychosis that makes her think she is dead.
Right.
Oh, wow. That's like an actual thing.
Yeah. So it was that whole bit plays out very well too. So.
Yeah, after probably halfway through the first season, I was like, you know, I'm like, not to sound creepy, but it would be kind of interesting if there were more serial killers that put this much effort into their craft. Because, I mean, I feel like some people just take the easy way out. They're like, I'm going to cut a hooker and dump her in a ditch. And, Hannibal really, he puts his heart and soul into it. And, you know, you got to appreciate that level of dedication and art.
Yeah, so no one takes pride in the craftsmanship anymore.
I know. It's, I mean, back in the old days, you had Ed Gein, you know, who at least, you know, put out the effort. And I mean, I feel like it's like, oh, yay, you killed a runaway. You, how'd you kill her? Oh, you slit her throat. How original. You tied her wrist with pantyhose. Yay, you.
Well, essentially, you know, Hannibal with his great feasting banquets that he is putting his heart and soul into the meal, as well as somebody else's.
Exactly. Goes that extra mile to make it something special.
So, with Hannibal, yes, season 1 and 2 are now available for free streaming with Amazon Prime, and season 3 is going to be starting in June. And so, but they, where we started with the whole thing of being the shorter episode run, they are 13 episode seasons, so it's all killer, no filler. That's another reason I love the show.
Yeah, they don't fuck around. There's not a lot of wasted time. Like, there's stuff going on.
So, you're all going to get a message from me cussing you at like 3 a.m. because I'm on episode 6 of season 1 and I've got to be up in 3 hours to go to work.
Yeah, but secretly we know that you're secretly thanking us. So one other show, I mean, we kind of mentioned it earlier, and I know it's not a flat out horror show. I'm not implying that it is. But Game of Thrones has some very strong horror elements in it. It has White Walkers and gigantic fucking wolves and dragons and shit that can fuck shit up. So that's also another, if you need to kind of, everyone's always, you know, beating on each other and fucking each other up. That's another nice kind of tide you over. You can't watch your zombie apocalypse right now. So go watch these White Walkers who are pretty much scary but mindful zombies. See what happens there. Winter's coming.
Well, yeah, because you have the White Walkers, and then you have the ones that are returned by the White Walkers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So.
And you have the Red Witch. She's a little freaky deaky.
And all the right ways.
Yeah, I was about to say hot.
I don't know. I think I'd have to pass after I saw the smoke monster being.
Oh yeah.
I think I'd be like, you know, I'm not going to go near that.
Thanks for the reminder there. Yeah,
that's better than any chastity belt I can think of.
I can think of others. They will be discussed here.
Wait,
yeah,
that's,
so, you know, anyone.
That's an internet mashup someone needs to make now, because if she's giving birth to smoke monsters, is that where Smokey came from on the island and Lost?
Exactly. See? Maybe the island is actually right off of the coast of Westeros, and nobody even realizes.
That's what it is. The island is actually part of old Valyria that no one goes into after the doom occurred.
Exactly. You don't know. You don't know what's going on over there. Nobody does. So, I mean, I think back to the first episode where the group is out and they find the array of dead bodies, and then they bring the scout brings the guys back and there's nobody there. And then, you know, I think back in the olden days of Game of Thrones and the chill that went up my spine just seeing the White Walker. I'm sorry. That's fucking horror.
Yes. So, what other show, Joe, which one do you have to recommend?
My favorite show of all time until Breaking Bad aired, and that's Carnival. You can't get it for free, but it is on HBO Go.
It is also on Amazon Prime, I'm pretty sure.
I think it is.
Beautiful, it is.
I really want to watch it, but at the same time, I know I'm going to be heartbroken.
Yeah, and for anyone who's never heard of it or anything, it was a show on HBO that was planned for 6 seasons. The creator was going to do what he basically called 3 books, and every 2 seasons was going to be a book, and he was going to close out each volume. So we only got the first book of his plan 3, and season 2 ends on this seriously awesome cliffhanger. Luckily, he's talked enough since the show ended to where you kind of know where it was going. But even though it ends abruptly and it doesn't continue, those 2 seasons are some of the most fantastic television I've ever seen. And it basically deals with a kid who has the power to heal people or bring people back from dead, but there's a trade-off to where, like, if I have a gunshot wound and he puts hands on me, every squirrel or bird in the area might drop dead because he's stealing the life force from somewhere else to give it back to you to heal you. And there's like a good and evil play with like an evil preacher, and played by Clancy Brown, just brilliantly played by him. But that one, I can't recommend that one highly enough. And same thing, it's like 12 episodes each season, so there's not that many.
Yeah, I know it's just two seasons, but I know that the way that it ended, it got cut short, didn't get renewed when it was like it reached the peak of you got the good versus the evil, and then you never get to any resolution.
Yeah, I mean, like the battle lines were drawn, and like I kept watching week after week. Like, oh my god, it's going to get so much better now. And then it got to the end of season two, and the last like minute, like my ex and I were watching it, my jaw just hit the floor. Like, holy shit, next season is going to be so great. And I think it was just a short time after that. HBO was like, yeah, no, we're not going to do anymore. It's really, really expensive. Assholes.
Yeah. How about
that,
you, Don?
That one.
How about you, Don? You got anything throughout there?
I only got like maybe one or two. The one that sparks mind, they just did their season finale a few weeks ago, was Sleepy Hollow. Any of you watched that?
That one. I've heard great things on it, but I haven't got to watch it yet.
I watched pretty
the first
good.
Two episodes. I didn't end up, I think one of the shows we usually watch came back on and we just didn't make it back to Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, that one, I have to admit, in spots, it's kind of slow, and I had to do a little bit of binge-watching to catch up the last couple of couple episodes. And nearing the end of this season, it kind of did, I want to say it was clever, but at the same time, it kind of got repetitive as they switched how it started at the very beginning. But if you haven't seen it, it's basically a take on the Ichabod Crane, Headless Horseman, legend, but it gives it such a spin that basically it's about the war of, good versus evil, but with historical twists blended into it, like George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they're all part of the Revolutionary War was just the cover for the real war, if you will.
Oh.
So it's actually pretty interesting when you go through it and you kind of sit back and go, I wonder if that's true. Kind of explains a whole hell of a lot, but that one is probably the highest on my recommendation list if you haven't watched it yet. I don't know. I think you could watch it on Hulu. I don't think it's available on Netflix, but you can
first
go
season,
there.
First season might be up on Netflix.
I haven't checked yet.
Yeah.
I haven't seen what the mystery selections have been this week. But the other one I would have to say, as far as, like, if you want to go, like, OG, not really OG, like, we're talking 80s, 70s, 60s, I'm talking OG that everyone here, I think, would agree on, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Fuck to the
end. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Angel. Got to throw Angel in if you're going to watch Buffy.
Exactly.
Oh, Angel.
I was going to say, I was doing research trying to find other shows that I was remembering that I enjoyed. I never got to quite finish. And Forever Night was another one that popped into my head. But I couldn't find it for free streaming. But when I was looking for it, I forgot there's the movie before the TV series that had Rick Springfield as Nick Knight, vampire detective.
Well, and let's not forget Kolchak Night Stalker.
Oh, yeah, that's very, which was the predecessor that led into the great X-Files, which actually all seasons of X-Files are up on Netflix, Hulu, and Prime. I did find that.
And we get six new episodes.
In Vancouver, no less. Yes.
Yeah, you guys have no idea how, like, that day I was so giddy at work when I saw that announcement go up. I love that show to no end.
Me too.
Even with the shitty last couple seasons.
Well, I had listened to the episode of Nerdist, and I was like, ooh, maybe this will really happen. Then I'm like, okay, stop it. You're just getting all excited for nothing. And then it really started to turn like, no, really, it is really going to happen. And then when there was the tweets where Gillian Anderson had tweeted
Mulder, it's me. Are you ready? And he was like, he's like, you know, I'm ready, G-Woman.
Always ready for you, G-Woman.
I was like,
I will say that can be another selling point for Hannibal for you, Joe, that Gillian Anderson plays Hannibal Lecter's psychiatrist in the series.
Imagine what a job
that
is.
Oh, shit. Damn it, I hate you all now. I'm going to be up so late tonight. Son of a bitch.
Well, I look forward to seeing my phone blow up with the instant messages. Motherfucking assholes! It wasn't me. I kept my mouth shut, sir.
Well, and while we're talking about Gillian Anderson, let's not forget The Fall, because The Fall's fucking awesome and creepy as hell.
It's on my list.
It's on my list too. Everyone tells me to watch that, and I just haven't got around to it.
It is so good.
That can be another shout out for another one of our boardy friends, Adam Prickett, that Adam with his extra work and stuff that he has done, that there, I know from his stuff he posted up on Facebook at one point, there is an episode of The Fall that he's done work in a few episodes of it, but there's an episode where actually he and his family are in it, including his daughter and wife, or soon to be wife.
Nice.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, that show is really good. And she gets to rock her British accent, which is a good time.
I just wanted to throw one out there. I just started thinking about it. If people need a zombie fix, I haven't seen it yet, but I heard pretty good reviews about it. iZombie.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That zombie fix.
I haven't seen it.
Yes,
yes. I've heard good things.
It doesn't have, it's not straightforward horror, but there's enough in it for horror fans. It's more of, and I've never watched it, but everyone tells me it's the same sort of thing, but with a zombie, more Veronica Mars-like, where same production crew. She uses her quote unquote zombie powers. When she eats brains, she gets memory flashes of the person she's eating the brains from. So if someone gets killed, she eats a little bit of their brain. She starts getting flashes of what happened and they kind of piece it together. And her and a police officer are now in a guy that works in the morgue are like crime solvers, but it's way better than how I'm trying to sell it because it is just, it's a comic book come to life, and I wasn't a huge fan of the comic. I liked the premise, but I just didn't care for the way they did things, but they've adapted it very well to television. I think there's only been two episodes, so it's fairly new. You can easily, I know it's on Hulu, because that's how I watch it.
Yeah.
So anyone who hasn't watched it, you can jump right in and go and catch up quick.
I get another one, at least for a current show running. Granted, it's not free for streaming yet. I don't know when it will, because it's spotty on when FX actually does their, making things available for free streaming. But The Strain.
I want to watch that too.
I watched the first season, enjoyed it. I read the trilogy of books that Guillermo del Toro did, and the TV show is actually pretty good. But that's supposed to be. They haven't had a date yet on when it's restarting, but it starts this summer. Is all I've been able to find.
Right. But, do any of you guys watch Bates Motel? Bates Motel?
No, I haven't.
I watched the beginning of it, and I was pretty impressed with it. And again, it was just one that we kind of wandered off from because something else came up. But I liked what I saw of it.
Okay, yeah, my dad watches it, and he swears by it, but his taste is spotty at best sometimes. So, I wasn't quite sure, but I've not watched any of it at all, but he said it was good.
Yeah. Let's see. I got a little list sitting here of others. We mentioned American Horror Story earlier. First three seasons of that are up on Hulu, Prime, and Netflix. Another show that
Watch season one and ditch.
Hey. I like Asylum. Kevin sucked at the end. I like Asylum. I liked it. It was just so, Asylum was just literally it was so batshit crazy with the way the storylines were everywhere. I loved it. I like that style. The first three seasons are all up on Hulu, Prime, and Netflix right now. The other two shows that I came up with that are available, pretty self-contained. Great one is, Masters of Horror. I mean, if you want to essentially watch, incredible short stories of horror done by some of the most brilliant and legendary directors of the horror genre. Masters of Horror, the entire series is up on Hulu. And it even includes the Takashi Miike episode that never got aired on Showtime because it was so controversial and so graphic. So it's got the whole string of them on there, but so you got stuff by Dario Argento, John Carpenter, Tobe Hooper,
Joe Dante did one.
Yeah, Dante did one. Clive Barker did one. So yeah, there's so much stuff up there that's great to watch. Then the last one I've got, a great one for especially now in our binge watching era is Harper's Island.
I started that and only got through like two or three episodes, but I liked what I saw.
Oh, I loved it because it definitely had that, for anyone who isn't familiar with Harper's Island, it was a limited series, not quite a mini series that ran on CBS several years ago now. But the whole concept was, you have the people who are stuck on this island for a weekend for the wedding and there's a serial killer among them. And you were guaranteed every episode of the 13 episode run, somebody was getting killed by the end of an episode. And in a couple episodes, you actually had two bodies drop. And so it was the whole mystery of, you know, who did it, who done it, who's the crazy in the midst. And there were several of the kills that were quite inventive and gory for the time. But granted, you know, it's still late night CBS, so it's not full on like you would see now, like say with Hannibal, but there's still bits where you see what's coming with the trap. Your mind comes up with the own image from the limited gore you're seeing. You kind of go, ooh. But yeah, I recommend that one. It's up on Netflix.
I actually have another one that's one of my, and this will make it sound bad, but it's one of my favorite listen to while I fall asleep shows. And it's on Hulu and it's actually a almost 6 hour documentary called 100 Years of Horror, narrated by the inimitable Christopher Lee. And it's fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
it's
that.
Really fun.
I've not seen that, but I am still watching that.
Oh my God. It's so awesome.
That's one I would recommend as well, off of YouTube. I think I posted it back in October before we actually started recording shows. That was a great referral from our friend Wayne Talbot, that Mark Gatiss did a was it History of Horror or something like that? I'm forgetting the exact name of it, but it was a 3-episode BBC miniseries from a few years back, and he did another one. Last year, it was last year or the year before that focused on European horror. But, I loved watching it because Mark Gatiss has the exact same taste in horror movies that I do. And to see him talking during it, that it's like in his study in his house as he's explaining, you know, his taste, his history growing up and what he liked, didn't like of horror, as well as even the current, his, at the very end of the little miniseries, his statement on the current state of horror. And what he doesn't agree with, what he felt it need to go back to, I'm just like, I want to stand up and give this guy an ovation. Because, but to look at, oh yeah, but for the shots that he doesn't like his study, just to look at the stuff on the shelf behind him, I'm like, I want to go to this guy's house. I like his stuff. He's got some of the same things I do. And, for anybody who doesn't know who Mark Gatiss is, he's, a writer, director, actor. He's directed several episodes of Doctor Who, has been on several episodes of Doctor Who. He's currently on Game of Thrones. He is one of the Iron Bankers. He was the one that was questioning Stannis, Stannis and the Onion Knight, Sir Davos, in that episode. He's a great writer, director, actor, and all around. Oh yeah, and he plays Mycroft. He plays
That's what I say, yeah.
Yeah, on Sherlock. So
one other thing that I saw a commercial for, and it hasn't come out yet, so I haven't seen it, but it might be a good kind of tide you over one, and it's a 10-episode kind of mini series. Wayward Pines has Matt Dillon, Carla Gugino, Terrence Howard, Melissa Leo. And it looks really fucking interesting.
I've heard of that one. Because, like, that was another one I found when I was, like, looking for other shows last night that I remember, like, you see these shows are coming out, they sound interesting, but then they fizzle out like a bad fart and are gone by six episodes. Was Happy Town. It was something.
Yeah.
Not serving it at all. Back.
Well, then you got, what is it? What was the one that was like the 666 Devil's Drive or whatever the heck it was that ABC had?
Well, this one is actually, not only does it have a fantastic cast, not only is it a limited run, which I think is actually kind of good for in a lot of circumstances, but it's also directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay, I have heard of that.
But in the trailer that I saw, basically, you know, he goes to this town, he isn't allowed to leave. It looks as though Terrence Howard is maybe like the sheriff or the kind of leader of the town or something. And at one point, Matt Dillon's character, basically he's been sent to find two missing agents, like FBI agents, I think. Mm-hmm. And sitting across from this guy, and basically one of the rules in the town is if your phone rings, you fucking answer it. You do not ignore a ringing phone. And so the phone rings, Matt Dillon picks it up, and the voice on the other end of the line says, "You need to kill the person sitting across from you." And like, he kind of just hangs up and he goes, "Telemarketer." And the guy sitting across from him holds like a finger gun up to his head. Like, it's just, it looked creepy and like fucked up. Mm. I like that.
Yeah, creepy and fucked up. I'm getting ready for a rewatch of Twin Peaks in the near future.
Oh, I love that show so much.
Well,
I need to watch it.
That's another one.
Everyone's like, you haven't seen that.
I still have the Secret Diary of Laura Palmer. I still have it.
I still have that too. I live only. That's a tie-in. That's a good book and wraparound. Literally, book and wraparound. That the last week's episode of The Walking Dead was directed by David Lynch's daughter.
Yeah, I read that. Rich posted that.
Yeah, and she's the one who wrote The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer.
Which was one of my favorite books when I was like 15, if that tells you anything about what is wrong with me fundamentally. Wrong and so right.
Yeah.
Well, I ran across something on YouTube that I know for a fact will at least make Chris smile. And I make this recommendation with a caveat. I'm not saying that this was good. I'm saying it's super cheesy, but it was from a different era. But I love it because I loved it as a kid, and that is the show Werewolf, that was one of the original shows when Fox became a network.
I have never seen that. I have heard of it, but I
It's two seasons. The first episode was like an hour and a half movie, and then every episode after that was only like, you know, a half an hour show.
Uh-huh.
But it's basically The Incredible Hulk, but the guy's a werewolf.
So he goes from town
to town trying to find the werewolf that, you know, is started the bloodline so he could break the curse. And because he killed someone in the very first episode, there's a bounty hunter after him to collect because he broke his bond and jumped town.
This is sounding familiar now.
Yeah. And the werewolf that he's tracking is a super old Kurt Connors.
Huh.
And
he has
the cheesiest, like, Eastern European accent.
Yes. My brain is flooding this stuff back, man. You just opened some buried vault in the back of my cortex.
He has an eye patch and everything. What I will say is, I rewatched late last night, I rewatched the premiere of it. And I say watch it, but make a drinking game, like Mystery Science Theater 3000 type deal out of it. Every time you hear like a super sexy guitar instrumental, take a shot. Every time they try to get Tinder into the script's the worst ever. The acting's horrible. But I go right back to being a kid in middle school when I was watching it last night. I was just grinning from ear to ear.
That's thinking of werewolf TV shows. I know I saw a clip somewhere and, I'm curious to track it down. It's a Canadian show, based off the book series. And I'm thinking about it because the book is sitting behind me right now as we're recording, because it was included in, last month's horror block. is bitten. That the concept is like the lead character, the woman, is like the only female werewolf of this pack. And because of all the politics and infighting and everything she's having to deal with, she moves from rural, you know, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, whatever it is, and goes to the big city. But then politics and things and debts owed draw her back into the, to it. But it's supposed to be a, I think they were doing a TV series based off, and I think a second season's supposed to be in the works.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've seen some promo stuff.
Yeah.
I've also heard MTV's Teen Wolf, actually, shockingly enough, yeah. is pretty good.
That's it is. It's pretty good.
That one's up on Netflix now, too, so.
Yeah.
It's another one. What else? We got about 3 minutes here to go. And, Dawn posted the obligatory, I'll be right back, but I don't know if she's back yet. So, but, for time wise, for size of the show, we're coming up on about 3 or 4 minutes left to go. So, any other, last minute ones you want to throw out there for shows you can think of?
So for me, old school, man, go with old Twilight Zone. Night Outer Galleries, Limits. Outer Limits, all that old stuff, Tales from the Dark
Alfred
Side.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Rip. Definitely some Alfred Hitchcock. Like, all of that. I could watch that all day, every day.
Yeah. That, I will think, yeah, even old school, there's some, the good old school still holds up, because that's actually one, off on another genre that I watched the other day, because it was an extra DVD in, one of the Blu-rays that I had, but it was the original 1932 Scarface.
Nice.
And to watch that with some of the acting, but as well as the produced by Howard Hughes, directed by Howard Hawks. And it was off another film history show that I was watching. It's one of those things of style of directing and the cinematography. It's like, you know, characters, people, when someone's going to get killed in the movie, they were getting, you know, X'd out. They're getting crossed out. And so the way that Howard Hawks would set up scenes is you would see like an X somewhere. That either from like, you know, the framing of a window frame or something that would show the shadow somewhere. And you know that someone's going to get killed. I mean, you got a character who's in apartment 10 and the X on the door. And I mean, it's something you started looking for when scenes would come up. Cause you got like the St. Valentine's Day Massacre and you've got like a latticework beam going across. And so you got this series of X's and things like that. And so that's what I mean. It's a true classic. It holds up. Well, and so same thing going back to Alfred Hitchcock and, some of the more Hitchcock's movies. That's a whole episode in and of itself sometime. But, I hate to say it, but we're probably gonna have to wrap up before Don comes back. Just so.
No, I've been back for a while.
Oh, you silent observer.
I just had to keep hitting mute because I was either yawning or coughing. So I'm like.
Sneaky.
I was just going to add, the only thing I'll probably do on my Sunday nights now that they're free, if I use this term very loosely, if the moons and the planets align just right, fuck. Just one word answer. Fuck. Nookie. Beast with two backs, Chris, you know, that sort of thing. But I'd hate to have Amanda hear that and go, oh, so I'm just passing time till the next season. Is that it?
Enjoy it while you can, sweetheart.
I bet I'll get a bunch of knitting done because I'm old, and that's what I do.
I'm probably going to catch up on some other show. It's like I still got another one horror related that I'm keep meaning to dive into, but it's 9 seasons deep now, Supernatural. So, but yeah, we'll have shows to watch. So we got about 2 minutes here to wrap things up. So, Joe, got anything to share? Any place for posting or whatnot?
Follow us on Twitter at Podcast Macabre, and follow me on Twitter if you'd like at That Joe Myers. And if the movie It Follows, which I hope we get to talk about at some point and do an entire episode on, is playing anywhere near you, for the love of God, go see it.
And how about you, Jenny? You got anything? What?
What movie was that?
It Follows.
It Follows.
Oh, It Follows. Okay. I'll have to look it up.
Jenny?
You can follow me on Twitter at Tattoo Jenny. I'm usually just kind of being annoying and snotty and
on there. My inner snark monster kind of comes out on the Twitter. So it's very rarely, it tends to lean more towards Viewask Universe than horror on my Twitter, but that's only because, you know, Kevin and Ralph and them are so goodly enough to favorite my tweets and make me all excited and giddy.
And how about you, Don?
Nothing to promote, pimp, and or propagate. However, I am on Twitter at BullyInGoal71. You can post whatever questions you have. I have already addressed one of them. Am I really that stupid? Yes. However, I am very, very charismatic, and I'm cute as fuck. So if you want a question to ask other than that, knock yourself out.
And you can catch me on Twitter as well at _duckman_. You can hit us all up on our Facebook page, The Podcast Macabre. Ask questions, post other stuff, share horror news, whatever. We like the interaction, folks. So on that, we're out of here so that we have enough space to post this on our hosting site because it limits it to about an hour and a half. So for everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Joe.
I'm Jenny.
And we're out of here.
See you, folks.